Thank you so much, ladies. That was wonderful. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 today. If you have your bulletin, you can take the outline out and follow along. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. We are continuing our series today on For the Faith. And today we're looking at the subject of living out a model of our faith, living out a model of our faith. There's a story about a preacher, a pastor, a young guy who just got into the ministry. And he would come to church and preach on Sunday mornings. And people would come up to him and they would tell him about what a wonderful sermon he was. And the little ladies, they would come to him and tell him that he was the model preacher. Just a model preacher. And so he'd go home, and he'd be sitting at dinner with his wife or lunch with his wife, and he'd say, "Honey, do you know what someone told me today? They told me that I was the model preacher. Isn't that great? Don't they just love me at that church?" This was for several weeks, and finally his wife realized that his head was getting too big to fit in the door. And so she decided to tell him what the definition of a model was. So the next Sunday, sure enough, he was standing up greeting the people, and a group of ladies walked up to him and told him that he was the model pastor and that they are so glad that he's the pastor of their church. And he's just a perfect model for lots of people. So he goes home and he said, "Honey, you're not going to believe this. Not one, not two, but a whole group of people this morning told me I was the model pastor." She said, "Honey, do you know what the definition of a model is?" And he said, "No, but it sounds really nice, doesn't it?" She said, "The definition of a model truly is a smaller version of the real thing." So he kind of got his bubble bursted. But we're going to look at the second definition of a model, and that is to imitate or to follow. And in the imitation world, to imitate Jesus, to model him in our lives, living out our model of faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, will you look with me in verse number 6? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples or models to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that you need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'll bless the reading of your word. Lord, I pray that we will be in tune to you today as we live out our model of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Living out our model of faith, we've been discussing now the reasons that we believe what we believe, and now it's time to live that out, to put it into action or to put it into practice. You know, the truth is that when you think about putting something into action, if you have something that is not activated, what good is it? I think I may have told you the story before, but when I was a teenager, I had a cell phone. Now, when I was a teenager, the cell phones weighed as much as you did. And so you kind of leaned to one side when you were carrying it. But I had this big Motorola flip phone. You may know what I'm talking about. And it had a 6-foot antenna on it, and I mean, it was just, but I thought I was cool. I mean, I thought I was it. I had the cell phone. Now, back then, the way cell phones worked is that you paid by the minute. So when you used it, you paid for it. And I think it was like $2 a minute or something like that. And so I didn't use it often unless it was an emergency. But if I'm driving down the road, you know, I'd look over to my right or look over to my left, and there was a cute girl. You know what I'd do? I'd get my cell phone out and pretend I was talking on it. Now, if anybody was in the car with me, they would kind of look at me kind of strange. But I thought I was really cool, you know. I got my cell phone, and I'm talking to myself because nobody's talking back to me. But I'm looking cool. And so, you know, the girl over there, she'd look at me talking on my cell phone. That was as big as I was. And it was a cool thing. But you know something about that cell phone? Is it was in my hand. And I was pretending to use it. But the truth was, is that it was not activated because it was not making a phone call. And here we are as Christians. And you say, Pastor, I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I know I'm saved. But what are we doing with our salvation? Is it just something that we put on for show whenever we need to? Or is it something that we're living out every day in our lives? In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, we find Paul, who is now on his missionary journeys. And he is looking at the Thessalonians, at the church of Thessalonica, as a model church. And he gives us some great thought processes when we think about living out our model of faith. Right there in your outline, if you want to take notes, you can. Let's talk about what kind of faith the church of Thessalonica had and how we can apply that to our own lives. Number one in your outline, if you have it there, they had a willing faith. A willing faith. Look at verse number 6 with me. The Bible says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." They had a willing faith. They were not forced into their faith. They were not forced into what they believed. They were not forced into their Christianity. They had a willing faith. They were willing to make the choice to follow Paul and ultimately to follow God. And so when we think about a model of faith, the first thing that we have to think about in our lives is, are we willing to do what God wants us to do? When I was 14 years old and God began to work on my heart about calling me into ministry, I surrendered to that call, but I was just 14 years old. There was a long time that needed to, a lot of years that had to transpire before that calling became activated in my life. But I had to make a decision when I was 14, and then when I was 15, and then when I was 16, and now I'm 31, and I'm still making that willing decision every day of my life to get up and decide that I'm going to serve the Lord. No one's forcing me to do it. No one's putting a gun to my head. No one's telling me I have to do it. What I have to decide is that I'm willing to serve the Lord. I have a willing faith. What were they willing to do? Letter A, they were willing to follow. They were willing to follow. In your outline there, I put this. The term follower means an imitator. In other words, these believers came to imitate the life of Paul and ultimately the life of Jesus Christ. They were willing to follow. The truth is that you cannot be a leader unless you have people that are following you. And in church life and in life generally, we have a lot of people that want to be leaders. But I believe in order to be a good leader, you first have to be a good follower. And you have to, and then if you have a good leader, then to imitate that leader. Here, this church of Thessalonica, they had Paul to imitate. And he was a great Christian, we know that. And a great man of God. And they were willing to follow him. Can I tell you that they were willing, number one, they followed their leadership. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." They were willing to follow their leadership. Not only that, they were willing to follow their Lord. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 1 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." They were willing to follow their leadership, and they were willing to follow their Lord. Listen to me today. We need Christians that are willing to follow. People that are willing to say, you know what, I'm going to get in line and I'm going to do whatever it is that God wants me to do, and I'm going to follow the leadership that God's put in place in my life, and I'm going to be on board, 100% committed, 100% sure, 100% everything in my life, willing to follow Christ. They were willing to follow. Not only that, letter B, they were willing to suffer. They were willing to suffer. A model of faith gives people a means of seeing faith. When people see someone who suffers yet remains faithful in his love for and service to the Lord, they truly see faith in action. Can I tell you something? And this, it's not an easy thing for a pastor to say that wants people to come to church and wants people to serve God. But the truth is, and I can't lie to you, if you're a Christian that's following God, there will be suffering. There will be suffering. Here's what we have to understand, is that we have to be willing to suffer. The Bible says in 1 Peter, "Think it not strange, the fiery trials which are to try you, for as much as you know that you are partakers in Christ's suffering." When I'm suffering as a Christian, things can come of that. You say, "Pastor, what can come great through suffering?" You know what comes great through suffering is friendship. Right? Friendship comes great through suffering. There may be something I'm going through that I've never been through in my life. But there may be other people in our congregation or other Christians that I know that have been through what I'm going through. And we can together bind our friendship through suffering. You know what else comes great through suffering? Is growth. It's growth. I grow spiritually through my suffering if I allow God to teach me what He needs to teach me through my suffering. And then not only does my friendship and my growth, but my teachability is what I learn through suffering. You say, "What do you mean, Pastor?" Well, if God teaches me, which He will, through my suffering, then I'm able to teach others. And then my friendship bounds become bigger and bigger. And my circle becomes larger and larger, and my influence becomes larger and larger because I'm willing to suffer for Christ's sake. You see, living out our model of faith means that we have to be willing to follow. We have to be willing to suffer. We have to have a willing faith. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you willing? Are you willing? You know what a willing heart is? It's one that says, no matter what happens in my life, I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. Perfect example of this would be my wife and I, we got married, and when she came to me as we were driving down the road on a trip one day and told me that she was pregnant. By the way, men, if that ever happens to you, just ladies, don't inform your husbands while you're driving down the road. You know, a little veering to the left, veering to the right, you know, what? Doesn't work out too well. The truth was, now listen to me, let's be honest with each other. The truth was, is that I was willing to become a father. I wanted to do that. I wanted to become a father. But you know what I can't do 9 years later is I can't send my son out somewhere and say, "Oh, I'm no longer willing to do it." Why? Because the moment that I made those decisions to be a father and be willing to do that, it was a lifetime commitment. And when I become a Christian, it isn't. I'm not a Christian until something bad happens. I'm a Christian until someone preaches my funeral. If you're going to sign on to be a Christian, you have to be willing to deal with whatever may come in your life. A willing faith. Not only do they have a willing faith, number two, this one is interesting. They had a watched faith. a watched faith. Look at verse number 7. It says, so that you were in samples or examples or models to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. They were examples to all that were in Macedonia and Achaia. People were watching them. If I claim to be a Christian at any time in my life, people are going to watch me. You understand that? If I put the label that I go to church, or I put the label that I read my Bible, or I put the label that I'm trying to raise my family in a godly way, then what I'm saying is that I'm labeling myself as a Christian. And the moment that I label myself as a Christian, which, by the way, you should. Let me try that again. Which, by the way, you should label yourself as a Christian. The moment that I do that is the moment that people begin to watch me. Now, let's talk about that for a minute. The truth is that when I get labeled, people are not watching my good. They're looking for my bad if they're not Christians. Which you may think to yourself is a little unfair. That may be true, and that may be honest and just. But what it should do to you is it should challenge you to live your life in accordance to the Word of God as closely as you can. It should be a challenge. Now, will you fail? Certainly. Why? Because we're all flesh. But through your failures, you can have success. You understand that? Say, what do you mean? Well, if you remember, Edison didn't make the light bulb with his first try. Matter of fact, it took a long time to get the right formula before the light ever came on. But the truth is that through his failure, he ended up a success. May I remind you that Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team, but yet was one of the greatest NBA stars that ever lived. May I remind you that the Beatles were rejected by 12 studios before someone ever signed them. That became one of the greatest bands that ever were. You see, through our failures, you can have a great success. May I remind you, which is one, probably one that's more mind-boggling than both of those, Lucille Ball, I Love Lucy, had to fund her own way into that show because no one would think she'd ever make it as an actress. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Through my failures, I can be a great success, even though I'm being watched. You say, how are they being watched? Well, letter A, the imprint of their pattern. The imprint of their pattern. The word ensample is a unique word and appears several times in the New Testament. It literally means a die, a shape, a model for imitation or warning, a pattern. In other words, we should live our lives in such a way that we are worthy of imitation. Boy, if that's not a challenge, I don't know what is. We should live our lives in such a way that people can imitate us. I told you last week that I promised myself that I would never be like my father. And now I find myself doing things that my father did. You know why? Because he laid forth a good pattern for me to imitate. As I'm a pastor and as I'm a leader in the church and as all of you are leaders in this church and are trying to serve God and serve God, we should have a pattern in our life that we're willing for people to imitate. Because the truth is that there are kids running all around this place that are going to start imitating you. You have a watched faith. See the imprint of their pattern. I was watching a National Geographic show, and they were catching sharks, and I was very intrigued by this idea of catching sharks. And so I watched these guys. They went out and they lured sharks in, and they caught them. And I would never do that job, so don't sign me up. All right? They caught these guys, and then they tranquilized them. I would have tranquilized them before I ever got them in the boat, but they do it the opposite way. I'd just been fighting in the water hoping something comes to the top. I don't know. But they take these sharks, and they put them on these big boats, and they tag them. And then when that shark starts getting aroused a little bit, they push it back into the sea. And the reason that they do that is an imprint to see where these sharks roam and where they live. And then, of course, all the naturistic things that go along with that. Well, probably 2 weeks later, I was watching this shark show again. And they caught a shark that had one of these tags. And they took the tag off and re-tagged it and put it back in the ocean. Then they got back into shore and they went into this scientific lab and they began to do studies on this imprint that they put on them. And all the places that this shark had been, and I don't know how they tell all that kind of stuff. But what they were attempting to do was control the population of sharks through an imprint. You know, if we take that idea in relation to our own Christian life, every time that someone sees us or has interaction with us, they're checking our pattern. They're watching our imprint. They're seeing, are we changing for the better? Are we changing for the worse? Are we continuing on as we ought? You see, the imprint of their pattern. Letter B. Not only the imprint of their pattern, but this is a fascinating thought study. The extent of their pattern. How far did their pattern reach? Well, the Bible says from Macedonia to Achaia, this area is approximately 250 miles wide and 350 miles north to south. That is a huge area. Now, you may say, Pastor, that's really not a big area, but we're talking about the first century church. You couldn't jump on an airplane and fly to Achaia from Macedonia. It was a foot journey. And so you think about 250 miles wide and 350 miles north to south is what their influence was, the Church of Thessalonica. In relation to us, how far does our pattern go? How extensive is our pattern? What kind of influence are we having beyond our family and beyond our workplace and beyond our church place? Where does our pattern extend to? May I remind you that you have a watched faith. Number three in your outline, not only they had a watch faith, but they had a witnessing faith. Verse number eight, the Bible says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is abroad, so that we need not speak of anything." They had a witnessing faith. The Bible says, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They had a missionary-minded church. I believe that missions is the heartbeat of God. And I believe that we as a church have to be on board with this idea of missions. This idea of spreading our faith to far beyond the reaches of Sterling Heights, far beyond the reaches of the surrounding cities, and onto all the world. Why? Because our faith should be a witnessing faith. It should be spread abroad. The Bible tells us that in that passage of Scripture, that the Thessalonians, their pattern was spread abroad. Their witnessing was spread abroad. They witnessed, letter A, with the Word of God. This is the job of every church body, to make a loud noise about the truth of God's Word. To make an impact with the truth of God's Word. Could I ask you a question? What happens if Paul decided not to go on his missionary journeys? What if Paul decided not to spread the Word abroad? Can I tell you that the outcome could be very different for us today? If Paul decided to keep it to himself. But Paul realized that his faith needed to be a witnessing faith. They witnessed with the Word. They witnessed, letter B, in every place. They did not limit their witness. They were never satisfied because they knew that more people in their region needed to know Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? That my witness isn't just this building. The other day, this was kind of amusing to me once I figured out what happened. The other day, I was in the Home Depot, and I know, I'm not supposed to be in the Home Depot because I'm not very good with all that stuff. But let me tell you what I was doing. I was exchanging a propane tank. That's what I was doing, all right? That's safe. I can cook on the grill, all right? And the propane tanks are locked up, so I left mine in the car. Yeah, I needed to exchange my propane tank. It was this week. It was nice and warm outside. I didn't have a coat on. I had a shirt on. It was the shirt that Sister Diane got for me that says Mountain Dew Code Red on the front of it, amen. On the back of it, it says Pastor Terry. Well, my back is turned as I'm walking out of the store, and she tells me, the store manager will have to come and open up the lock for you. I said, no problem. And so I went to get to walk out of the store, and I heard, I heard, there's the man. And then I heard this voice. Oh, hi, Terry. I turned around, and there's the manager. He has keys in his hand. Didn't know him from Adam. Not from Adam. I went, hi, how are you? Great, how are you doing? I'm doing fantastic things. You need to exchange your propane tank. I do. Well, it's a beautiful day outside. It is absolutely gorgeous, yes. And he says, what are you going to cook? And I said, well, I'm cooking some pork chops, and it's going to be a nice meal for me and my family. That's great. That's great. And he says, church pastor. Jeans and a t-shirt. I'm not in a suit. Don't have my Bible under my arm, you know? And I said, well, I'm the pastor of 15 Mile Road Baptist Church. And he said, well, that's great. And he, how long you been there? I told him, it's great. I said, I'll be right back. I'm going to get my propane tank, and I'm going to come back to you. And I said, he said, okay. I am scratching my head walking all the way to my car. How does this guy know my name, first of all, and second of all, that I'm a pastor? I get to the car. I reach down to pick up the propane tank, and it got a little snagged on the bottom of my shirt. So I went to move the shirt to grab the propane tank, and I looked down and I went, aha. Sister Diane imprinted my name on the back of this shirt. So I'm walking back. Now I'm laughing. So I'm walking back, and I put down the propane tank, and he exchanged it. And I said, boy, it's a good thing I was behaving. That's what I said to him. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, I didn't even realize what shirt I was wearing. And I said, so the whole time you were talking to me, I was trying to figure out how in the world you knew me. I'll never forget what he said. He said, you're a pastor. You should never have to worry about people knowing who you are, right? Amen. Well. And then I thought about it. I'm a Christian. I should never have to worry about people wondering who I am. You know why? Because I should have a faith, and I should live a life that patterns Jesus Christ. See, they had a witnessing faith. They witnessed with the word. They witnessed in every place. And then letter C, they witnessed through their lives. They witnessed through their lives. The lives of those in Thessalonica who were living for and representing the Lord Jesus Christ spoke for themselves. Spoke for themselves. We should be able to speak for ourselves. I believe that the greatest way of witnessing is through our own personal testimony and through our own personal life. I don't think people have to walk to or go to work with their big family Bible under them to prove that they're a Christian. I think their lifestyle should emulate that of Christ. You see, they witnessed through their lives. Number four, and I'm going to be quick here. They had a working faith. They had a working faith. Verse number 9, the Bible says this, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They had a working faith. Letter A, their works were a result of their repentance. Their works were a result of their repentance. When genuine repentance occurs in someone's life, the Bible teaches that the natural outflow will be godly works. When we are saved by grace through faith, obviously the thing that we want to do now is to exhibit our faith through our works. Exhibit our faith through our works by serving God. Letter B, their works were for the living and true God. This is a key point in Christian living, a key point in Christian living. We do not do our works for ourselves. Let me try that again. We do not do our works for ourselves. We do our works for the living and true God. I don't do my work so that somebody will come and pat me on my back. I do the works of the ministry because I'm looking for Christ to pat me on. People get so upset and so displaced when they're not recognized properly. And the truth is that if we lived our lives based on recognition, probably none of us would be where we're at. But if we live our lives based on serving the living and true God, we can be so much more effective. You see, they had a working faith. Number five, and I'm done. They had a waiting faith. They had a waiting faith. Verse number 10 says this, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from wrath to come." They had a waiting faith. Letter A, they waited with patience. They waited with patience. And then letter B, they waited with expectancy. They waited with patience, and they waited with expectancy. That is the same waiting faith that we have in 2011. Waiting for the blessed hope of our Lord Jesus Christ and his return. And many people have said, "Boy, you guys have been preaching this for years and years." Yes, we have. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? And the truth is that one day the wait is going to be over. I'm going to give you a statement, and this applies to many things. The greatest things come to those who wait. The greatest things come to those who wait. Let me apply that in several different ways before we close. A waiting faith. Let me apply it to you morally first. I've said this several times of something that I'm not ashamed of, and I don't know how you feel about it, but that's just the way I am. My wife and I walked down the aisle and said, "I do." We were very pure individuals. My wife can wear a white dress, wore a white dress on that day with no reservations, because we both stood there and had not committed any acts of immorality in our lives. Can I tell you something? And I'm just being blunt with you, but please don't take it the wrong way. The best things come to those who wait. Best things come to those who wait. There have been decisions in my life that I had to make. And if you're anything like me, sometimes I want to get the cart before the horse. One thing I've learned is that if I wait on God, the best things come to those who wait. And then I know that everything that I do for Christ here on earth, if I continue to be faithful with my faith and serving Him all the days of my life, the best things come to those who wait. Because all the joy of heaven, and what it'll be like one day to see my Savior face to face. And for Him to look me in the eyes and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Living out our model of faith. Living our lives imitating Jesus Christ on a daily basis. I have two questions. Number one, are you modeling Christ? And number two, is the model that you're portraying worth following? These are tough questions. But ones that as we think about living out our model of faith, we really have to come face to face with. You say, "Pastor, one of those two questions I can't answer the way that I should be able to." You know, the great thing about God is He is a God of starting over. He is a God of, "Let's start today. Let's start right now living out our model of faith. From today forward, I'm going to do what the Thessalonican Christians have modeled for us through Paul. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.